Peter Hill Explains, where I invite you to join the science teaching conversation with me about
impressions of a visitor coming to a Toastmasters evening in Kew, Melbourne, Australia. So Melbourne's sort of as close as you can to an old world European city, perhaps. You've got Sydney, Melbourne there, the large cities there. Toastmasters is a group of, I suppose, there's a spectrum of, if you call 30 young and above, 30 years old and above people coming to it. This Toastmasters, and it's a rather, I suppose, elderly suburb. It's sort of not an ultra-youthful place. Now, it's hard to remember because when I grew up, I think youths made up nearly 30% of the population. Now it's sort of shrunk down, so it's hard to talk about youth that much. But what I'm going to talk about now is the response to Janine Wong's talk about strategy and the direction of Toastmasters. And it's very important to me, I suppose, because I've had a bit of training in MBA and military stuff about strategy, where you want to go. And I've sat back with this training and seen other organisations, so particularly education, sort of pick up an airport lounge book on strategy and apply it and get people motivated, and it's actually counterproductive in the long run. Not saying that what you said is counterproductive, but I may as well go ahead. So what I want to say about this is that strategy, an approach of strategy, if I can just put it like this, you're going to build a development, a shopping centre or something like that, and you say, look, I know what I want to do. I'm going to get a billboard, I'm going to get hats, I'm going to appoint positions, I'm going to have a big advertising campaign and say that we're going to do this and this and get our objectives right, and then I'm just going to erect the billboard on this greenfield site. May not be the right site or anything like that. And if people really want a shopping centre, it'll be there. And then I've seen other examples of shopping centres, and I've looked at it, and what's happened is the first thing they've done is they've built a billboard and they've put on the hats and stuff like that. And so very much, that sounds a bit unkind, but very much their strategy idea of having, I'm just going to check that this is a recording at the moment. Yes, it is. The strategy idea of having a vision and a mission and targets is much the strategy equivalent, or the building equivalent, putting up a billboard, dressing up and putting out flyers. Yes, they are attributes of a strategy. Yes, you can point to successful strategies which have done this, but and yes, if you don't do this, you're probably not going to do it. But it of itself doesn't get into the real deep issues of strategy. And and it's not that you shouldn't start this way. You should start this way. In fact, from officer training, the very first year or 2 years of officer training, people are dreadful. And we tell them, look, you're good, keep on going. And it's only after a while that it clicks. It's a long thing. And eventually you stop and you read in-depth books about strategy and you start to really go into strategy. An in-depth book which I read in my MBA was Oh My, The Mind of a Strategist, and had the idea of a strategic scenario. And if you have the strategic scenario, which is in certain aspects part of the strategic scenario, has an idea of who you are and what you're doing and the actual context of what you're going to do. And it is interesting that there's a whole heap of maths and other things which come into competitive strategies, SWOT analysis, whether you have basic resources. But from my experience, the key aspects to it, the key things where strategic crowding is where you have something which I call institutional strategy. This is where you're building a city, a place for people to live, reside, and the institution actually doesn't do anything. It's part of a... it doesn't go anywhere. It's where people reside, feel comfortable, they own, and they live. It's a sort of a very static strategy, and that institutional strategy obviously doesn't necessarily have guidance, but it has a whole lot of people who come in to exploit it. Now, this is myself. This is not from books. This is just looking at the because there's a obviously difference with what I call expeditionary strategy and the g'day, hello. Okay, the Australian Army is an expeditionary force, and a lot of military campaigns are not institutional. That is, and a lot of military has become institutionalized and lacks their flexibility. So the idea of expeditionary one is that strategies become a more smorgasbord that you go through to actually find what works best for you, what actually achieves the best for you, you don't stop to build a defence, you stop to move on. Might be one of the aspects. You've got a direction that you're going, but you move to targets to find where to go. It sounds a lot of exciting, and in a certain sense, we are vagabonds, and the expeditionary thing really works for people because you've got a direction, and often the targets can be selected depending on what pushback you have and what your opportunities are. It's sort of like an institution is opportunity agnostic, whereas a institutional strategy, whereas an expeditionary strategy is about going up there. There's something called trig points. These are very high altitude points which no one are really seeing, but you gather people there and you actually say, what can we see from here? And this is about taking people on a journey. And I think this is one of the things which would excite and invigorate people, is that if you talked about taking them on the journey with it, I hope this is talking to them. It's not too brutal. Now, one of the so we're talking about that. We'll just go back over. I'm actually walking up to my second, I'm walking in the morning up to the gym again. This is the second attempt, and of talking a podcast as I'm walking along. You can possibly hear the trams and that type of stuff as I'm walking up along, doing really podcasting. And I suppose this would be impressive or interesting to you, that this is Toastmasters on the move while doing something else, which is coming up. I just have to negotiate. I can only do so much multitasking. I've got to talk and cross the road at the same time. But all this being said, I'm not saying expeditionary strategy, and it's not something I've just thought of. It's actually a recipe to get around a fundamental way we control. We can control by power, spending money and the traditional power things, but we can also control by sort of this negative withdrawal of power. This, of all the people who are not turning up to your meetings, they're reserving a power to it. So you can hear the tram going along. And trying to recognise this is to try and work out with a fundamental aspect of society. And the interesting thing is that the larger and more complex the society, the more intense the compensatory abandonment is. So if you're in a small group, I'm going to stop now as I move. You can hear the lights going. So if you've got a large group of people, in order to function is that they have to be more astute at stopping and not helping. I'll have to get onto that thought in a little while. So the point I want to make is that one of the ironies is that the more people are together, the more they're isolated. So just say if you take yourself, say if you're a farmer, you're two isolated farmers, and you come up to each other and meet them on the fence, you'll say hi. But you could be a whole heap of people standing on Flinders Street Station. And you note people looking away from each other. So you have, a whole heap... Oh, I've got to stop this. I'll be with you in a sec. Okay, so continuing is... It's really actually a voice memo because I don't actually get enough time to go in and edit it. What the point I was trying to make is that the problems is a common problem for all people. The abandonment, censorship, the people lack of listening. One of the key solutions I think that Toastmaster has is the fact is that you have a group of people who listen, and which is an important thing for talking. And the lack of listening seems to be a factor with a large society. That in order to live in such a large society, we reduce the amount of listening, and we exert power by not buying a product. You're powerful, and we have exert power by being disapproving, or we feel power by being feeling disapproving. So this is in a certain sense an anecdote to it. Now that being said, you can't be sort of too emotional. You have to say, you have to recognise it as a practical thing. It's not, you can sort of feel hurt for a while, but you've got to pick yourself up, dust yourself off, and go forward. And in a certain sense, that's what I've had to do with a cognitive rehab, with all the strokes and stuff like that. I've had to pick myself up and go forward and do a little bit of what the Toastmasters say, learn to speak, articulate when no one's listening. And I've done work that out by having a foil, a technological foil. And this is being able to record podcasts, being able to write things, get computers to read them back, and basically get technology to get me into that next section. So the actual... Hello, there's people at traffic just looking at me talking to my phone. So it's not the thing to do in Victoria. I think it's a bit weird. Yeah, the story about technology is to actually... it can actually be used in the event of... And it's really interesting that you've got technology and social media. There's also technology and things that you can do with Toastmasters, like recording. Everyone records a podcast, having written texts which are computer read, so you can listen to it very quickly, so revise it very quickly, get a way of doing it. Now the idea is that you don't necessarily have to have... Now, I'm going to have to finish this now. You don't necessarily have to stick with a single strategy if you've got the expeditionary strategy style. Okay, so I'm going to finish this now and continue talking on the way home. So, continuing my podcast, I've just come out of about an hour's worth of cognitive physio training. That's just on a walker doing cognitive training. Not an hour, because after a while the computers overload and don't work. But what I was trying to say is that there's, if you look at it strategically, analytically, sort of an analytic strategy, there's a common thing that people are choosing not to listen to each other, choosing to abandon, and you've got a variety of strategies which can work together to overcome it. One strategy is having Toastmasters, where there is coordinated listening and analysis, you know. When someone speaks, they are listened to. Now, there's sort of a billboard viewpoint of things that you have the basic structures there, but not necessarily the content. Now, this is perfectly okay, and everyone else can go into content or wants to go into the deep content. That's okay. That's like there's no in the sort of ecosystem of ideas. There's nothing which says it should go any further, or whether you someone raises a point. I really sort of felt that the idea of talking further about an idea was a bit of an anathema, saying, okay, you've said something, can I speak to you about it afterwards? And of course, this technological window of the podcast allows someone to speak at length and eventually develop an idea. So one of the things is that when you cut off an idea and you can't speak about it, what is it? It doesn't necessarily die, but it morphs away from the subject. And so this is a role of technology. So there's sort of the same basic technical, what do you call a multifaceted. You can look at it from speaking skills, or you can look at it from providing missing listening skills of society. And another aspect of someone who counts as missing listening skills is the ability to speak and get assistance, because your speaking is a construct of your skill training, but also cognitive state, and cognitive state requires training, and training cognitively requires multiple levels. So it is interesting that you've got a social level, perhaps eating, combining, doing a whole lot of cognitive tasks together, catching up, a whole lot of social things going along with it to support it. But there is a possibility of using the technical things. So let's just go over, because I've got a short while I'm going back to recap on the technical stuff. So just to recap on this so far, saying that I suppose my response is listening with analysis, and listening with analysis requires you require time and insight and tools. You require those three components to actually do a job. So if you're building a wall, you need the time to build the wall, you need the skill to build the wall, the insight of where the wall to go, and you actually need the bricks to put it all together. And this is opposed to putting up a poster and having a big chat about building a wall. This is actually building a wall. So this takes a lot longer time. And this evolves in a different space. So our community space is really great for doing the shopping, building something, moving as a mass to a football game. It's sort of a lot of things in life are cyclical events, and we are very programmed by events. So one of the sort of central programming things of society is calendars. And that allows us to have a broad program of events. It used to be that our events match the seasons signs, and it was sort of a generalized program. Why we're doing it? We're just following the calendar going forward. So that's an example of one tool. But it just means that people who get used to following the calendar are I suppose they're natural home bodies, because you want to be at home and you follow your calendar, you've got everything you need. Expeditionary people are a bit different, because they go into different environments and to go forward. And expeditionary people pick their team and pick their resources and go. And so in a certain sense, this technological thing is not something as an all of institution thing. It's for a team element to experiment, to not achieve a SMART goal, that everyone goes to a place, but it's not necessarily a SMART goal, but a strategic goal. So you really want a breakaway team of two or three people who can explore this situation. Now, just as a case in point, so I'll just go to the technical aspects of it. You can have podcasting. So I have the podcast software just to take a dictaphone recording, a podcast, and broadcast it. Then there's the other, that's broadcast, but there's collaborative and constructive things where things are written in text and verbally, and people can listen to it and add delivery notes and all that type of stuff. There's online aspects to it. So I'm just going up to Station Street. I think it's another block till I get to our house on the way. Right, so there's that technical aspect to it. I just look at case in point of let's do a little bit of analysis. Let's reflect or produce an idea. And it's really interesting about how ideas take over. There was this Shakespearean idea of if you plan and think a goal, plan and work on goals, very soon you come to a situation where you're so transfixed with planning, you actually do a lot less living. And this is probably a part of the execution of plans, where plans themselves become a counterfeit for actually doing an object. And this is what Shakespeare is saying. But what I found really interesting was that the actual structure and timing to take an idea wasn't there. It was, this is a challenging idea. You can only bring in a challenging idea if it's linked properly and everyone can understand it. Now, this is one of the strange things of layers of understanding. There are certain ideas that everyone can understand. There's certain ideas that certain groups can understand. And there's certain ideas that people can understand but not comprehend. And this is a sort of spooky bit of science, how you describe what's going through with science. So with this, I sort of try and say, I haven't heard this before. Is it in a book? That they have sort of all... they're used to not comprehending ideas, but they handle ideas which they can't comprehend by actually putting links. Is it written in a book? Has a famous person said it? Has someone else done it? And the answer will be no. Therefore, I don't accept it. So there is this back door to things which people can't comprehend or understand, but if it's got celebrity status and other people are doing it, or I've written a book, or I can go through and get some sort of scholastic, almost religious call to thought. And this is sort of like a real risk, a risk of, I suppose, public speaking. It's if I can just go back on it. So there's that aspect of it. What I really want to do is say this harks back, and it's not necessarily a bad thing, to the ancient medieval curriculum, which was a seven-section curriculum. The first bottom four were, I think, arithmetic, geometry, music, and astronomy. They're all considered aspects of mathematics. And then the three higher levels were grammar, rhetoric, and logic. And those higher levels, the three ways, are trivia. And the idea that you'd be able to have rhetoric is sort of very ancient idea. And it's important to realize that a lot of the ancient ideas have a lot of credibility, a lot of worth, but they have a whole lot of ancient censure. And it is very interesting that if you look at St. Augustine and rhetoric, that people had no silent thought. Back before the Middle Ages, they would speak what they thought, and you could interrogate someone, you could make someone say an oath, and they would have to follow the oath. They have said the oath. And so the writing has created a secret internal world. And so the lost art of rhetoric is sort of the rise of social media writing, and allows us to upscale and become actually isolated in a crowd. And you really want people isolated in a crowd, because you really want people to interact with the society as if they're in a small village. You don't want people to suddenly take on the entire complexity of society, sort of a megacity, in the way that they buy fruit and veggies. You want them to have very simple domestic aspects of it. So there's always been a pruning of behaviour to go within a social system. It's just we're just controlling and nurturing this pruned behaviour. I'm just going to try and see. I'm just walking home from a slightly different direction, hoping that I'm not being run over. That would be rather tragic. My last words is on this. So you've got this whole ancient tradition, a whole series of human thought, sort of bundled up in the Toastmasters. It's sort of a very ancient tradition, the idea of rhetoric, being able to put an argument in such a convincing way. And there's very much an idea of, and this is something I found a little bit interesting, is that you have a limited time to say something, and you say it, and it's successful. And you can actually win an argument, as in win a battle. And it's sort of a very funny way of looking at things, I think, sort of like winning a battle, winning a rhetoric battle. It's sort of like deciding a thing through the way we decide issues by warfare. We want to decide which is best, and it's the person with the highest amount of explosives wins. You know, like the United States won World War II with an atomic bomb at the end of it. And that's settled. Oh, well, obviously, this bomb equals democracy. My ability to win a rhetorical argument is there. Now, it's interesting that a rhetorical question is a question where it's given to you, but you're not expected to answer. Isn't that a beautiful aspect of it? And this is very much Toastmasters is a rhetorical society, and it's got to be a rhetorical society, because that's the way that we live an isolated life. But it doesn't mean that we're all blocked in. You could undergo a strategic partnership with technology and start podcasting everything you do, and getting some computer analysis into it, computer reading. Okay, look, thanks a lot. I'm back home now, and it was a nice evening. I enjoyed the cake and the Smarties, and also having to get up and do a bit of miming. A real big challenge to the mind. Thanks a lot.
Another story comes to a close. It's been a pleasure sharing this moment in time with you. May you discover truly amazing things, understand them, and tell others. Thanks for listening.